Join Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin for a new monthly edition of the Capital Ideas Podcast. It's your look inside one of the world's largest asset managers. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Invest 30 minutes today. American Funds Distributors, Inc.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Come on, G, kick it.
Warriors or the field? Who do you got? I know it's a Raptors podcast, but let's just start with the best team. KD's back. Steph Curry is quote-unquote back. I use that loosely because I don't know that he ever left. But he's back. Warriors of the field. Who you got?
I made the bet with Doug Smith, okay? Doug Smith is I guess he's a beat writer. I don't know if you classify him as a beat writer. He's a national writer, though, in Canada because he writes for The Star.
He's a Raptors beat writer. He's considered like the godfather of Canadian basketball, per se. Okay. He's been around a long, long time.
Right, I'm a young blood. I've been around for it's nearing a year now, and we talked at Hoop Talks, which is a gathering of basketball minds in Toronto. We talked, and he had this idea that there's too many things that can happen to predetermine the Warriors as the NBA champions. Actually, you know what? I'm going to start the story over from the beginning because there's actually more to this. There's like he's like on a panel, and there's questions being asked from the crowd, and like a crowd member, she knew the mediator, so she got to ask a question, you know, like without any sort of resistance, and she basically asked, "Can a point guard lead an NBA team to like a championship in today's NBA?" And then he was like, no, and everybody was like, no. I'm like, wait, am I the only person that's been watching basketball for the past 3 years? I'm like, you know, do you guys know who Steph Curry is? I actually said this out loud. I'm like, you know, who is Steph Curry? And everybody's like, oh, yeah, Steph Curry is the guy Durant and sucks, yada, yada. And I'm like, oh. And then they're like, when did he win the championship? I'm like, he won the championship 2 years ago. And then they're like, what happened next year? He's like, they won 73 games next year. He was the best player on the team. And they're like, yeah, but he lost. I'm like, yeah, but he still led them to the championship in 2015-2016. So, you know, Doug Smith is... So I got the crowd is like rallying against me, basically. For some reason, they don't think Steph Curry is good enough to lead a team to a championship, even though he did. So Doug Smith basically said, or no, I said, you know, I would bet you, I bet you money, that the Warriors are going to win this year. Steph Curry is going to win the championship again this year. And Doug Smith is like, I'll bet you $50. And I was like, I'll take that bet. He's like, $50 to the loser has to pay the charity of the winner $50. And I said, absolutely, I'm down for this. And yeah. So now we're at this point where I messaged him on Twitter. I reminded him. He's not following me on Twitter. And we have this bet where I bet him $50. He bet me $50. I have the Warriors winning the championship this year. And he has the rest of the field. And this is for me to prove to him. And, you know, I thought, you know, Doug Smith is he's a pretty spry guy. He's kind of old, but he's a spry guy. And I was like, and I was thinking, you know, he's a forward thinking type of NBA basketball mind. Obviously not, because he has this weird antiquated mindset that point guards can lead a team to a championship. And I'm willing to take his money. Oh, well, I can't take his money. It's going to charity. Not sure which charity yet. but it will be going to charity. I'm fairly, very, very firm in my belief that the Warriors are winning this year.
Well, mathematically, the odds are obviously in his favor because there's 15 other teams versus one. So that's one reason you could say that he's taking it. On the other side, though, if you want to go to Vegas, these guys make a lot of money.
Warriors are minus 160 favorites to win the NBA title. So what that basically means is you got to lay 160 to make 100.
Well, yeah. So there you go.
They're heavy favorites. The next team is the Cavs at plus 300. So,
and I'm not.
They think the Warriors are going to run away.
Yeah, me too. And I don't even see the Cavs. I don't think the Cavs are like the second best team in the league right now. Like, I really
second best team.
The second best team in the league? It's probably the Spurs. And I don't even think
I'd say at this very moment the Spurs. I go Spurs, Rockets, then Cavs.
Yeah, and I don't even think the Spurs can beat the Warriors. It's just like the team construction is pretty odd if they were gonna play in a conference finals or something like that, so yeah, man.
Warriors are peaking like at the perfect time, and now KD's back and all that, and we should probably segue into some Raptors talk pretty soon, because I know we love to talk Warriors off the air, and lo and behold, on the air again. Raptors 11-5, 12-5, around there without Lowry. I gotta go back and double check to make sure.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of that's partly because of the easy schedule, also because Serge Ibaka's been a beast.
That DeMar DeRozan's
been a bigger beast. They've had some difference makers come and just rise to the occasion. Do you start resting DeMar DeRozan down the stretch here since the schedule is a bit easier?
No, dude. Our over-under.
I love it.
Our over-under, we had over, I think, I'm reading some places that it was 49.5, but also I'm reading in other areas where it's 50.5, which is basically a difference of one game. But still, that over-under is in jeopardy, man. There was 47-30 right now. There's five more games in the season. They can't really afford to rest if we're going to make this over-under. And plus, they're in the run for seeding. And, like, the seeding is very in flux from 2-4 right now.
Okay, yeah. Let's say they're locked into a seed by, okay, I don't know, their second last game of the season, one of their last two games of the season. Do you then sit DeRozan? Like, what? In what circumstances are you going to sit DeRozan? Because for me, once they're locked in, you sit him for at least a game. The guy's been severely overworked. His usage is off the charts. He's playing the most minutes. It's easy. I think he just needs a breather to ensure that he's good and ready to go for the postseason. But for you, what circumstances does that entail?
If I'm being realistic, if it's not about me, I'll probably rest him in that Knicks game, which is the second last game. But they're going to want to play. They actually want to beat the Cavs, because that's going to have like seeding implications. Like, no matter whatever, however it shakes out, even if every team won every game up until that last game will have seeding implications. So I don't think they would. I just wouldn't rest DeRozan for that game.
Buddy, I think you could play Bruno for when they play the Knicks. That's how bad the Knicks are right now. They're an absolute tire fire again. Implementing the triangle is tough work. So,
did you see that lineup they had running? They had like a full five-man squad of undrafted picks or undrafted players.
What is that?
Man, when you're the Knicks, you got to scrounge, man. When you're one of the in the richest country in the world and one of the most culturally expansive cities in the world and one of the greatest cities of the world, you got to scrounge for your draft picks and your players. You got to scrounge.
Yeah, they're definitely tanking. 100% they're tanking. That's no secret. But at the same time, is Phil Jackson not the worst executive in sports right now?
It's between him and Vlade Divac.
You know what? Vlade's got less to work with. Less of a resume. I can't blame Vlade too much yet because his owner is psychotic. James Dolan's psychotic, but he's willing to shell out the money.
Oh, man. You know, at least the Kings are winning a little bit. Buddy Hield is going off. Scal, our buddy Scal, the person
our dude,
that...
That's our dude, eyes emoji.
The person that we've been, basically canvassing for the Raptors to draft, and then they failed us.
It's worked out okay so far.
Yeah, so... I think it's between Vlade and, Phil Jackson. Probably Phil Jackson.
I think it has to be Phil, man. This guy's done nothing good so far. What's the best thing he's done aside from the zinger? I shouldn't say nothing at all, but just the zinger. After that, what? Said that Carmelo, there's spots on a leopard? Great. Nothing we didn't know.
Yeah,
Knicks are still bad. You still love the triangle. You refuse to adapt. So many issues. So many issues.
So, yeah.
Other teams.
The Raptors.
I was going to say, other teams. Sorry, go ahead.
No, the Raptors. So, in that game, the Raptors absolutely can afford to rest DeRozan. Kyle Lowry might be back by that game. So you might be able to give him some playing time, just like to spin the wheels, make sure everything's okay. Maintenance check.
He has to get out there. Like, if he's good to go, I'd say the last four games of the season, play him. manage his minutes, whatever it takes for him to feel good and get healthy. And by get healthy, I mean get his game legs back underneath him. Not get his legs where he's good and healthy to play, like his game legs. There's a big difference. So that's like a must for them entering the postseason, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the ideal first-round opponent for them?
Ideal.
I know we had this argument off the air.
Man, it's tough. It's tough, man, because if I want him to play anybody, I want him to play the Hawks. Yeah.
I want him to play the Hawks, too.
Want him to play the Hawks or... Nah, man, I just want him to play the Hawks because I'm looking at the looking at the standings. Like, I don't want to play the Pacers. Really? I don't really have a problem with playing the Heat.
Okay, I got a problem playing the Heat. I have no problem playing the Bulls because I think they'll smash the Bulls.
Man,
throw the curse out the window.
No, but like, for me, the curse is out the window. But for the rest of the players, I don't know how they feel about the curse.
Why? Why? What makes you say that? I'm so curious. Everybody keeps saying this to me, and I just keep asking them why.
For the players? I think it's just.
Do you think like Ibaka and Tucker and those guys care about this?
The rest of the team, seems to, because it was like a big deal when they beat the Bulls, like a big, big deal. They had, what was it, 12 games in a row that they had lost. That's three seasons. So, you know, the same people that are like, you know, DeRozan, I guess, you know, Terrence Ross used to be on the team back then, but like, there's a bunch of players that are on that team. Even Kojo has been on the team for a while now. This is his second season. Lowry, like, there's a whole bunch of people that were on those teams that have just lost continuously over and over and over and over again to the Bulls. So I don't think it's a mental block, but I just feel like, you know, it's like, I just don't want to. I just don't want to play the Bulls.
Okay, losing to the Bulls would be a step backwards, in my opinion, for this franchise, because
it would team they have to be the franchise if they lost to the Bulls in the first round.
Dwayne Casey would get fired. There'd be mass up. That's just a team they cannot lose to. I don't want to hear anybody tell me, you know, Jimmy Butler and Dwayne Wade. After that, they have nothing. They have nothing. And Dwayne Wade is still elderly as hell. Like, he's not the old young flash is not coming out the door when the postseason starts. Mm-hmm. You might get a flash of it, no pun intended, but that's about it. And then it's just Jimmy Butler. You're telling me the Raptors, when the playoff basketball slows down, rotations tighten up, that they can't handle a Bulls team like that? I think they'd mop them up in 5-6 max.
Hey, man, if it was me, if this was 2K, this probably be like a four 2K. Game. this would be like a 4-game series. But it's real life, man. I'm just worried about the team. I'm just worried about them playing the Bulls. I don't know. I don't know how to describe. It's hard to describe. It's like having a bad omen and then you finally break this omen. It's just like for example, it's like having the number 13. You know, like some buildings just don't have a floor number 13. It's not like people really believe in bad luck? Yes or no, you know, but like people have survived on floor 13, you know, in history. It's just like, I just don't want floor 13 in my building. It's like, I prefer not to.
Okay, so we both agree the Hawks is the ideal first round opponent. They're bad.
The Hawks or the Heat?
They've been falling at like free falling. I play the Hawks or the Pacers. But I'm shocked you say the Heat, man. The Heat have been on a tear since their awful, awful 11:30 start.
Yeah, but they lost Waiters.
Well, there's a good chance Waiters will be back.
Okay. Well, even then, he'd be... See, here's the thing. We'd be like, oh, man, but Waiters will be back. But then I was thinking, yeah, but he's coming off of injury. And then, I was thinking about Kyle Lowry. He's like, oh, Kyle Lowry will be back, but he's coming off injury. So... I think right now, just think of like the Raptors right now. I think they're a lot better than the Heat are right now. So with a diminished Lowry and a diminished Waiters, I still think the Raptors are like significantly better than the Heat. So that's why I don't really see any problems with them playing the Heat.
Don't get me wrong. I think the Heat, they're not in the same like class as the Raptors. I think the Raptors all around are the second best team in the East. That's just my opinion. Mm-hmm. But the Heat, they have Dragic, Whiteside, and they got some nice 3-and-D players that can create difficult matchups for you. I'm not saying they could beat the Raptors, but they could give them a really good series. And it's just one of those teams where, like, I don't want to play a 7-game full-out series in round one against a team like the Heat that's just scrappy. And you know Dragic and Tucker will go back and forth, and some guys are going to be some bumps and bruises. I'd rather avoid that. I'd rather just play the Hawks, mash them up in 5, or the Bulls, and let's move on. Let's get into round 2. Let's play the Wizards and Celtics.
All right, so hopefully we play the Hawks. And right now, they are lined up to play the Hawks.
They are, right now. Well, who finishes higher, the Bucks or the Hawks? Because the Bucks is a possibility too, and they've been red hot.
Yo, what is going on with the Hawks, man? Can we just delve into that just real quick? what is happening with the Hawks right now? They just lost to Brooklyn today.
Well, Dennis Schroeder can't shoot, and his confidence, he's just too overconfident. It's the same issue with him. He can't run the offense there too well. Paul Millsap, I don't know what's going on with him, dude. He might be hurt. Like, he can't make a jump shot. It doesn't look like the same Paul Millsap we're accustomed to seeing. And the rest of the guys are just kind of trying to fill in, and it looks like they're just going through the motions. I don't know. It's a weird team. I bet you there's definitely something going on in the locker room. There's got to be some disagreement. Wouldn't be surprised if Schroeder and Howard don't get along. Coach Bud is, like, at the end of trying things. I mean, what else is that guy supposed to try? So I just think they are what they are right now, and that's just a mediocre team.
Mediocre team? Damn, that hurts, man. I'm going to miss this. I'm going to miss that team.
Well, what do you do with them in the offseason, right? Like, do you max out Millsap and then basically tie yourself to that roster? Because that's what the Blazers did when they went after McCollum and Lillard and then signed Crabbe back and then brought Evan Turner. And, like, they maxed out. They're stuck with what they have now. The Hawks could be facing the same dilemma if they bring back Millsap and then a couple other pieces like Tim Hardaway.
Right. That sounds like a trade type. Man, they should have traded Millsap, man. And why, I don't understand why they traded Korver mid-season. And they're like, we're still going to do the playoff thing. And they're going to be like, yeah, we're still going to do the playoff thing. Like, that didn't make any sense to me. Right? And then they don't trade, like, Millsap, and now they're starting to free fall. I mean, Millsap got injured, but, like, even with Millsap coming back, like, there's only so much you can recover. There's only about, like, 5 games left in the season. You know, the Bucks are still, like, red hot. Like, red, red hot. Right? So...
Well, maybe they think they could sign and trade Millsap in the offseason. I know this is, like, completely off topic, but they're just so puzzling as to what they're doing. Like, I don't know. They took a big gamble on it, and it's blown up in their face.
Yeah, man. I don't think it's off topic, man. I think it's really relevant to be talking about the Hawks, because that's possible the first round. Because if the Raptors fall to the 4, the Hawks can sneak up to the 5th. That's first round matchup.
Okay, well, how confident are you that the Raptors would beat the Hawks on a scale of 0 to 10? Like, what's your confidence level Raptors would beat the Hawks in round one?
Like an 8.
An 8? Mine's a 10.
Right. I think the only way that the Raptors lose is if Lowry isn't 100%.
100%. I think Lowry has to play in a splint, like a cast on his wrist, and not be able to beat them.
Like, Lowry, I'm so serious. Lowry's shooting is, like, really bad because of the wrist. DeMar DeRozan has, like, an inexplicable game, round one, like, last year.
Nah, it's got to be an injury.
Right.
I think even if that, like, and I think then, if this team plays bad 7 games.
Because Paul Millsap, the Paul Millsap versus Ibaka matchup, Paul Millsap will win that. Dwight Howard versus JV is, like, it's kind of a toss-up. That'd be interesting. I think probably Dwight Howard would probably win that. So, you know, it comes down, like, the small forward spot is kind of just, like, ambiguous for both teams. And then, you know, shooting guard, DeRozan should be able to win that. Lowry should be able to win that in the point guard. But, again, if DeRozan can't shoot it and Lowry can't shoot because of his wrist, then there's problems.
Well, I think the Raptors' depth, their role players like Kojo, even DeLon Wright, you go PJ Tucker, Patrick Patterson, Damari Carroll, like, JV... These are guys that are going to contribute off the bench, and I just think the Raptors' second unit, when they need those minutes, those final 3 minutes at the end of a quarter or 2 minutes before the half, those are big in the postseason. That's where a lot of runs and things can change. Like, you can switch momentum in a hurry like that, and I think the Raptors will be able to do that a lot because of how experienced their bench is. Where you look at other teams in the East, whose bench is really as deep as theirs aside from the Cavs? Like, do you trust the Wizards' bench?
The Bulls? No, I'm just kidding.
The Bulls.
Do you trust the Celtics, probably.
Celtics bench? I don't. I think it's just...
Not the Wizards bench. Celtics bench? Nah, I can get down with the Celtics bench. There's some interesting stuff coming off the bench. I don't know if I'm, like, super confident in it, but there's definitely interesting stuff.
Let's just get into the real question, then. Let me just ask you this, since we're kind of heading in the direction of the Wizards, Celtics. Let's get to Goliath. Let's get to the Cavs.
Mm-hmm.
How vulnerable... Like,
This is probably, like, the most vulnerable the Cavs will ever be in the LeBron era, and I do not think it's a given that they're making it to the finals this year.
I was just gonna ask you the follow up question then, was do they win the East as of today? Yes,
I'm
or no?
Not. I honestly don't think so, man. They struggled to beat the Pacers today, right?
So
they,
what you're telling me is you're okay coming to put some money down on the Raptors plus 1200 to win the East with me? That's almost down. $100 plays 1200. Let's do it. I know I'm a gambling man. This is some serious degenerate stuff by me right here, but come one, come all, hop on the Raptors bandwagon.
Man, if Lowry didn't get injured, I'm not even joking, I actually would have joined you. I'm serious. The only thing that's giving me pause is injured Lowry, man. Injured Lowry coming back? I don't know. It's iffy.
You'll never get better odds than right now, so if you believe in it, do it. Because I was just going to say this. Rank for me between the Celtics, Wizards, and Raptors. Like, I think it's really close for those three teams.
Mm-hmm.
And then tell me, in comparison to the Cavs, where they fall in now. Like, what's the gap? Is it still as big as ever because of LeBron? Or is it a lot closer than we're saying?
It's way closer. Man, the Cavs' defense is like, I don't know if you're watching their games recently, but it's real bad. Like, it's atrocious, atrocious defense, dude. Like, this is bottom that leg. I'm like, this is NBA defense? This is legitimately, I asked that one time when I was watching them. Like, these guys are playing NBA defense? They're like,
well, they can't with anybody now. Like, they're benching Korver and other guys because they've just been pitiful.
Right. The bench, the team is the oldest team in the league.
Well, I got a couple questions for you about the Cavs, then.
Right.
Why? They're the only team I've ever watched this season where they're trying to play smaller and they look slower.
They look so slow. It's because Kyle Korver is like 30. How old is Kyle Korver? Kyle Korver must be like 35. Right. Kyle Korver is 36. Okay, I was being generous. Yeah, Richard Jefferson is in his mid-30s as well. And then you have Channing Frye, who's in his mid to early 30s as well. LeBron is in his early 30s. Like, the only young person on this team is Kyrie Irving and Iman Shumpert. And that's it. Like, Tristan Thompson is, what, 27? So, like, whenever they play small...
Tristan Thompson's 25, I thought.
Tristan Thompson's 26 years old, right? So, if Tristan Thompson's on the court, then it's just pure old dudes on the squad, bro. Darren Williams is also in his early 30s.
Yes, baby.
Right? So, LeBron rarely runs in transition. Only if it's like a 2-on-1 fast break. But, like, Darren Williams is not trying to run, you know? Channing Frye's not trying to run. Richard Jefferson's not trying to run. We're trying to, you know, shift into the front court and trying to run some LeBron post-ups, and I'm going to shoot the three when I'm open. Okay? So that's why they look super slow. Everybody's mad old.
Okay, so here's my next question for you then. We see that they're horrific on defense right now, like absolutely atrocious. Where else is this team vulnerable? Like, if you were to attack the Cavs, where would you attack them?
The boards? Like, yeah, the boards and basically, like, point of attack. It's just, like, anytime Irving is on you, just go at him. Because
considering they only have Kevin Love and Tristan Thompson at center, I'm guessing that's what you meant by the boards, is down there.
Yeah, it's just like, I just want JV, anytime Tristan Thompson's on the court, JV should be on the court as well.
Okay, well, hold that thought, because I was going to ask you, which team is most equipped, specifically in the Eastern Conference, which team is best equipped to take on the Cavs in that sense? Like, that can attack their weaknesses.
It's the Wizards or the Raptors.
The Wizards, I'm surprised you still think it's the Wizards.
I just think
the Wizards because of John Wall and Beal.
John Wall and Beal. That's their two best players. And they're the best at the Cavs' weakness. You don't think the Wizards are capable of beating the Cavs this year? Have you remember the past two games that they played?
Yeah, I don't think they are. I'm gonna be honest with you. I just think it's easier for the Cavs to defend the perimeter than it is down low right now. Like, I feel like Gortat and everybody else they have down low, Markieff Morris, like, those are manageable matchups for the Cavs based on the personnel they have. Kyrie, John Wall, okay, I know John Wall, like, eviscerates him every time.
Mm-hmm.
It's I don't know what it is, when he sees number two, when he sees Kyrie in front of him, he goes bananas, dude. But who's going to guard LeBron for seven games? Otto Porter? Markieff Morris?
Like, Otto Porter, yeah, you named them right there.
Seven games? LeBron's getting at least three.
I don't think they're stopping him, but, you know, they got guys. You know, they got guys to throw. LeBron,
Otto Porter or the combination of PJ Tucker and Carroll? Who are you more comfortable with?
No, see, this is why I said the Raptors and the Wizards, right? I think the Raptors are better than the Wizards. I think they're more well-equipped, but I just think, like, Wizards are Raptors light, basically.
Yeah, okay, no, I could buy that. I guess you're calling them light because Kyle Lowry, we don't know what he's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
We know what old Kyle Lowry is, but we've also seen what Kyle Lowry playoffs is.
Oh, my goodness, don't remind me.
Yeah. Dude, he's got to break through, right?
Yeah, man, It's hard.
It's a contract year, you know?
See, the one thing that he has to his advantage this year than the previous years is that he's getting a ton of rest. A ton of rest. I mean, he's not getting in the shooting reps because it's a wrist injury, right? But, like, he's getting all this rest and fresh legs for those playoffs, man. He's going to be diving all over the court. Because if he's not going to be able to shoot, that's what he's going to be doing. He's going to be trying to do those Kyle Lowry plays for him. Getting those rebounds on the inside or diving for the ball stats. Right before it goes out of bounds. Yeah, the hustle stats that don't show up.
See, I was going to ask you about the injury, too, if there's a silver lining in it, because we've seen his minutes, we've seen his usage prior to the injury. Top three in the league. It's crazy right. How much he gets used. So now being injured, you know, getting all the rest, like you just said, fresh legs, maybe it's a blessing in disguise.
Yeah, man. If they can get, like, a nice, easy first-round matchup, so, like, the Hawks.
Atlanta.
Yeah, the Hawks or Atlanta. Or the Hawks.
Yeah.
I mean, or Atlanta.
ATL. Yeah, I'll take them all.
Right? So if they can get that easy first-round matchup, I think he can finally, like, get, like, you know, the actual game under, like, the game, get back into the flow of the game, sorry. And, yeah, he should be good for the second round, then, like, you know, the third round. We should make it to the third round. I'm pretty sure they should make it to the third round unless they play the Cavs in the second round.
Which is a possibility. But nothing says welcome back like Dennis Schroeder and his bottom five defensive RPM defense.
Yeah.
Nothing says welcome back like that.
Like, how did I get all these open shots, man? Was it like this all the time when I was playing before?
Yeah, what's this lane right here to drive through?
It's like I don't remember it being like this before the injuries. So, yeah, man, if they can get that nice first-round matchup, it should be great for him. Should be blessing in disguise is the perfect way to describe it.
Are you still on the whole boat that you avoid the Cavs for as long as you can?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm on the same boat.
But it's, you know, it's proving less and less possible, man. Because if the Cavs keep, like, I mean, they beat the Pacers today, but they're half a game behind the Celtics. So everything rings true, then we're playing them in the second round.
You gotta play him eventually, I guess, right? Like, I really don't even know what to give as a follow-up for that. Like, you're gonna have to play him eventually. Insert cliche here. You know, you gotta go through him. We're not gonna start buzzwords again. We're not gonna start buzzwords yet. Hey, before we get out of here, are there gonna be any upsets in the playoffs this year? Any like big upsets?
I got.
He's a vulnerable favorite, I guess you could say.
You see that? You see that 3-6 matchup? OKC versus the Rockets.
Oh, hell no. Come on, man.
Oh, no, sorry. Remember that 1-8, Blazers-Warriors. That's that,
you know? You know, you were giving me shit at the beginning of the year for saying Westbrook was going to win MVP.
Oh,
and now you're all over it.
I'm all over it, man. Come on now. For me, honestly, and I think it's like a popular opinion.
It is.
Like, due to just like... If you look at some polls on Twitter, it's kind of hard to look. It's, you know, polling on Twitter obviously is just like a certain segment of the population that watches basketball. But the triple double thing is like, if he just averages a triple double, he would win. If fans were voting, he would win just because of the triple doubles. Luckily, the media is voting, but I still think that's going to carry true for most people, or some people. If I had a vote, that would be it for me. I'd be like, yo, the guy averages a triple double. What do you want me to do?
Damn, that easy, eh? He's going to, like, undermine everything Harden's done this season and push the Rockets to where they are? You going to just frame him as a system player, I'm guessing?
No, I don't think he's a system player. It's just, like, think of the team that surrounds Russell Westbrook, right? And how
I think that's partially his fault.
No, it's not! What?
How is Kevin Durant left for a reason.
Yeah, okay.
It wasn't just to go join and hunt a title.
But okay,
I think that's one of the reasons, but I think a lot of the other reasons too is that people don't want to play with Westbrook.
That's a thought for maybe if you're like a top tier player, then I can understand that. But if you're like a role player, and look at think of the role players that are around him right now. It's like Taj Gibson, he can shoot a mid-ranger, nice. Steven Adams, he has no range whatsoever. He's just around the cup. He doesn't even have any sort of post ups or anything like that. Small forward is. Like, what, Samaje Christen sometimes? Like, Roberson, who can't shoot at all.
It's like, not very good.
Right? They got Victor Oladipo, though. Victor Oladipo's pretty good. Like, they got a lot of defensive stuff, but he's the only person that's doing stuff on the offensive end. When you're, you know, James Harden, Like, pretty much any play, it's like the opposite, you know? Like, you know, some people are playing defense, but, like, you have literally every option possible at every position for offense.
I think the Rockets roster is a bit better than Oklahoma City's, but I don't think it's leaps and bounds better, to be quite honest.
I think the fit is better.
Yeah, I think the fit's better and the fit is better. Like, I think if Westbrook played on Houston, they wouldn't get the same results.
Oh, I think they would crush teams, bro.
I don't think so. Harden's a much better fit there. No defense at all. Shoots the three.
No, yeah.
He makes everybody around him better. I don't think Westbrook makes everybody around him better.
I think we just have differing opinions of Russell Westbrook, man.
We do. We could go at this one all day. I'm just letting you know.
I think he's very good. Very, very good.
I'm not saying he's not very good.
I think he's doing what he can to make the team better.
Dude, if Russell Westbrook was a speaker, he'd only have one volume, and it'd be max. You can only turn that speaker on like all the time. It'd just be max. There's no other way around it.
Yeah, that's something I admire about
him, but I just don't think he makes everybody around him better. And I do think he pads stats. I don't think he's stupid.
You're a huge proponent of the rebounding thing. You subscribe to Kevin. Kevin Pelton who's peddling the rebounding?
He was the first guy to start peddling it, and it's like, hello, okay, that makes a lot of sense.
But it makes sense for him to get the rebounds to start the fast break. That is like that's like 40% of their offense is him getting the rebound and like starting that break with all the options and him just going downhill. You know, that's how they score their points. So I don't really
arguments here for me on that.
I don't see an issue with him getting rebounds.
But at the same time, there's a counter argument to it too.
Fine. Let the chips fall the way.
We're going to agree to disagree on Russell Westbrook.
Let the chips fall where they may. We'll see when they vote.
But I think he's winning MVP. I'm with you on that. I mean, I'm not just saying it because I picked at the beginning of the year.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's actually winning it because it's just he's flashy. He's trendy. He has that appeal that Harden doesn't.
You're totally going back on. I think I swear you even said like because he's going to average a triple double, you think he's going to win MVP.
Yeah, that's exactly what I said at the beginning of the season. But
and now you're like...
Technically, like, I don't think he's the most valuable in that sense. I think Harden's a little more valuable.
Okay.
And because they're winning. Hey, at the beginning of the year, you were like, you know, they don't give MVP awards to losing teams.
That's true.
You were literally like, if they finish 6th to 8th, he's not getting it.
But they have 40... Yo, they're 47-31. 50 wins is on the table, bro. Can you imagine if somebody told you at the beginning of the season, it's like, yeah, the Thunder's still going to win 50 games without Kevin Durant?
I think you might want to go back and listen to when we spoke.
Oh, man. I don't know.
I think somebody told you they're going to win close to 50, if not 50. And you're like, are you crazy? You're
going off on me. Oh, man. It's going to be crazy. It's so weird to see that we like basically flip positions on this.
Yeah, we have. I think that's the most fascinating part, that we've literally flipped opinions. I think he's going to win it still, but I don't know. I'd be leaning more towards Harden. And I don't think LeBron gets enough love for what he's doing. I know the Cavs are god-awful right now.
Yeah, that's the reason
why. Imagine what they'd be without him. He's still the most valuable player in the league. Nobody does what he does.
That's true. I mean, he's the best player in the league, but it's a single-season award. You know.
I think that's why you can't give it to LeBron, too, because it's just one of those unspoken, yeah, we know LeBron's the GOAT. He's the best player right now.
Yeah. No, it's not bad. Somebody else. It's just like his single season, I don't think it's... I mean, his single season, you know, statistics are pretty good, but then the narrative is also something that affects your MVP candidacy, and he has a really bad narrative right now. It's like, oh, great team that is collapsing before our eyes before the playoffs start.
His castle is crumbling.
Yeah, so, like, the narrative, that's why I think people will vote for Westbrook, just because, you know, close to 50 games, Durant left. F Kevin Durant. Russell Westbrook and average a triple-double, you know?
I want Warriors Thunder so bad. So bad. Just give it to me in the second round.
The Warriors are going to crush them, though.
But I just want to see 4 games of, like, sheer chaos. Those teams genuinely do not like each other.
Right.
I think... I don't say that I want to see a fight in basketball, but I want to see that intensity, you know? You know that whole, like, in your face... Like, don't give me, like, the 80s Bad Boys Pistons. I mean, I'd be for that, but that just wouldn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
But I do like seeing two teams that don't like each other play against each other.
Yeah, me too.
The Warriors would shoot... Like, you would get a max effort every night.
Yeah, it would be excellent to watch, but then, you know, it would be great for, like, the first quarter of every game. Excellent. And then, like, by the third quarter, we stop watching the games because they're losing by 30 points.
I'm okay with that. I know it sounds so bad. I'm okay with that. I know people think I, like, hate Russell Westbrook. I don't hate him. I'm just not the biggest fan of some of the things he's done throughout his career and the way he plays.
Okay.
I get that he makes, you know, awesome stats, great narrative, marketing in that sense. Like, I get the whole package.
Now I do what I want.
Yeah, that's pretty much what Russ is, man. I think he's petty, too. All right, I'm going to stop. I love this way too long. All right, I'd like to thank everybody for listening to this week's episode of the Tip of the Tower Toronto Raptors podcast. As always, you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Tip of the Tower. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes or SoundCloud at Tip of the Tower. Leave us a review on there. Rate the show. We love hearing feedback. You can also send us feedback, comments, questions, anything basketball. On Twitter, you can hit me up at Chris O'Kranitz. You can find DeMar on Twitter at DeMar J. Grant. That's all, guys. Enjoy the final stretch of the Raptors here. I know it's kind of quiet for storylines and what to talk about, but playoffs.
Playoffs.
Doug and Smith. Kyle Lowry's return. And maybe Drake's return.
Oh. Yeah.
All right. Buenos noches, guys.
Doug Smith, I'm watching you.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.